Welcome, everyone, to the Language of Behavior podcast. I am Joshua Stamper, and I have the pleasure and honor of being with my co-author, co-host, O-Summit Part, Charlie Peck, as we just kicked off, or finished up, I should say, a two-day event for our Behavior Solutions Summit. Charlie, if those who are listening did not get a chance to view those 2 days, what did they miss?
Oh my gosh, so much. Hi, Josh. I mean, good Hi. To see you again. We've been doing a lot of this work together for so long. We had so many speakers, like 22 speakers total, and we had a great like list of them giving just solutions. So the summit was School Behavior Solutions, and we really wanted to give people something they could walk away with and use immediately, or at least think differently about. So when they're going to their building and coming up with that plan, that they've got something new to think about. So I'm really excited about how it went. We're hearing such great information. So many people are saying that they took it back to their principal to show them. So I think it went over well. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, the feedback we got both via email. I mean, we got a text this morning from someone that said that they showed it to their principal. So I think the information that we're getting back is that people found value, not only in the moment, but also in the replays. If you by chance didn't get a chance to catch the replays, Charlie, can they still sign up to get those links?
Absolutely. This happens every year that we do this and people want the replays. And by the way, there's still tons of resources too. So yes, just go to thrivingeducator.org and you can go to the top of my website there and just still click on like sign up for that summit or thrivingeducator.org/summit. Still the link is up there.
Very cool. So I'll put the website there for those who are watching on YouTube and then make sure you sign up and then we'll make sure that you get the links. And so we've broken it up so that way, you know, maybe you popped in for one or two of the different speakers, but you missed some others that you wanted to capture instead of having a 4 hour long video that you have to fast forward, rewind, whatnot to get to where you were. We've made it very, very simple for you. So make sure you're heading over to thrivingeducator.org, click on that link, signing up. And then, of course, you'll get those individual links for each speaker. And yeah, it was so much fun to see you there, Charlie, and get to be a co-MC for that event. The speakers that were there were phenomenal. It was great to have them there to share out so much knowledge and wisdom. So really fun event. With that, we asked a lot of the participants that were there 4 questions for the podcast. And so that's where this one is coming for this week. So if you're ready, I'll throw out this week's question.
Go for it.
All right. So how do I confront an issue with someone so that way the conversation is productive? What are your thoughts with that?
Well, I always say start with empathy. I mean, go into it genuinely. I mean, not contrived, all right? Use empathy. It's actually, there's a brain-based response here when we do that. Neuroscience totally backs it up. So when people feel seen, it actually releases oxytocin and that helps us bond. And you know what? It just reduces the whole threat response. And so we just need to approach our conversations like that no matter what, especially when there's confrontation. But it is an important topic, Josh. That's why we're covering it. It's something that we have to learn to do in leadership roles, whether that's the classroom, as a parent, as running a building, CEOs, whatever. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple of these and it was interesting. You said leadership and this kind of popped in my head is when I was going from a teacher to learning to become an administrator. In that role, you get a lot of different tasks. And sometimes the way that people perceive you is different too. As a lot of folks were like, oh, you're the golden boy, or you've gone to the dark side. I got a lot of like interesting comments from folks during that time. Well, what I didn't realize was like the way that I was communicating was going to be perceived differently also. And so a couple of things that were, for me, I thought was genuine and trying to be helpful turned into a criticism from quote unquote a leader or someone that was very close to the administrator staff. And so I had very visceral reactions from people. I can think of 2 very specific examples of people coming into my classroom and, you know, starting with swung open door violently, marching in, yelling at me, cussing at me, you know, all of these negative things. And for me, as far as like thinking through what you're talking about, none of those are good ways to confront someone, especially when you're at like a high emotional state. Like you might want to take a break. You might want to cool down, have like we talk about with students, like that fight, flight, freeze. Folks were in fight stages and instead of taking a beat, they decided to confront right away. And for myself, like that was a really hard conversation to try and diffuse, to even get to the bottom of what was going on and why they were so angry.
It is tough because not only are we thinking about the thing that we need to confront, we're thinking about the other person and how they're coming at us. We have to process a lot of things all at once. And that is what's so difficult, especially like we know that there's other appointments coming up and there's other people that we're seeing in our peripheral, especially if we're in a classroom or a meeting. And especially when we get confronted and then we have to confront something back. So I do this actually like outside of teaching, because I don't teach in a classroom anymore. But as a therapist now, I confront one-on-one though. I confront issues all the time with clients. And so I find that being straight up, straightforward is very simplistic, that we can process that information easier. And so I always think of it like this too, is like name the discrepancy and not the defect. And so it's more productive when we can actually look at what that gap is, especially in therapeutic situations, about what are the values that they have or what we're presenting, and then the action behind it. So not their character. Because I think when we say anything about their character, we're already in a defense mode. We're not addressing that. We're not going to be productive when we made their emotional wall just go up. So it's interesting that you bring that up as well, but there's just so many instances. I might say something like, I know you think that rest is important, but you're still working into midnight, or you're on your computer. If I'm talking to my kid, for example, like, you know that your rest for school's important, but you've got to put a boundary on that time. Or you know that I need some peace and quiet when I'm working in my classroom, for example, and I hear you guys put a lot of noise, or there's a lot of noise going on. Can you guys stop that? So in my mind, I literally have like five different things popping up at once, and I'm trying to decide which one to put out there. But really, I think you get it, because all these circumstances happen. And that's not even just like one really tough thing when I have to confront a family who I suspect that there's abuse, for example, or I suspect that there's a drug issue. So there's just so much. There's so much.
Well, yeah, I think every situation is very specific, and obviously you need to think through it. I think that's a good way to start though, is kind of planning it out, right? I mean, you kind of talked about it. I mean, one of those conversations that I was talking about was in front of my class. That's not a great time to have that conversation, right? You got 30 little people listening, and, you know, obviously we don't want to show conflict between colleagues. Like, that's not professional. And also that might also trigger the students too in that classroom. So, you know, like finding the appropriate environment. If you have to have that crucial conversation with a parent, like you were talking about, like, obviously you want to be in a neutral site, and one that, you know, maybe you need a witness with you. Maybe you need to have it with a very specific coworker that's going to be able to support that, but then be a resource, you know, for that situation. So, like, I mean, I think we should always think through and make plans prior to that. But then also, like you were talking about, like in our communication, what is it that we're going to do where we're not going to set the other person off, where they're not going to feel like they need to be defensive, or they're not going to go into a shell? I think planning out, even scripting it, might be a good idea. So that way you're getting the best version of that conversation, so it is productive.
Yeah, I think scripting it is good, just to have an idea of what you're going to say. And I always like the repeat. So like, if they do react to you in a way that's going to kind of make your back go up a little bit, keeping that tone very level and just repeating what you said in a very simple tone. But then I would add their name, because that captures their attention. So little tricks like that can actually help them and get like their thinking part of their brain activated, and then lowering that triggering part. And so there's strategy to that too. But it's not that it's contrived. It's that we have a plan. And when we have a plan, we can stick to it and keep ourselves stabilized. That's what I like the most. So, and then there's a couple other things too, like timing. And again, that tone of voice, using that strategically, having it very even tone. Sometimes when you build rapport with somebody and you first meet them, you can match their rate of speed. Like, you could speed up like this if this is how they talk, or slow down to match their tone. But if somebody else is being confronted, or if there's any kind of conflict, it's always best to slow your rate of speech and lower your tone. So that's very strategic too, but that takes practice. That takes a lot of practice and self-awareness too.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Before we get to our next segment, is there any things that you think are vital as far as having these really tough conversations sometimes?
Yeah, I also want to address the group setting, because some of us run groups, and it's important when we have a group like social skills group or a therapeutic group, or you've got some kind of goal that you're all trying to reach together. The confrontation is important to do within the group, unless it's private. Like if it's a private instance, like somebody brings something up and it's going to embarrass them or it might harm them, we have that conversation on the side. Like again, in a therapeutic setting, if somebody indicates that they're possibly abusing their child, I'm not going to bring that up in the group. But if it's a group setting and somebody lies and they come clean or they make a statement that might affect the other groups, we've got to bring that up in the group setting.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Because also, you know, like if there's an issue and then, for instance, I'm thinking to like a staff member brought something up in a staff meeting, like, you know, the whole staff's there. And like for myself, I was kind of just shutting it down because I didn't want to answer the question in front of 100 adults. Like this is not the time or the place. And then that person took offense, but I had to like have that sidebar conversation later and be like, the question is fine. It's just, this is not the appropriate setting to have it. And honestly, if I was to answer in front of everyone, I'm pretty sure you would have been embarrassed based on the way I had to answer it. So like, let's do this in a different way, you know? So I think again, setting, groups, all those dynamics we really need to consider, that probably would worsen the situation and not be productive, which is going toward the question. All right. Are you ready for our next segment?
I am.
All right, let's do it. All right, so this is Behind the Banter. If you're new to the show, we like to throw out questions that sometimes are relevant to the situation. All right, I want to know, what professional development topic did you sit through that as you were there sitting in it, you were like, I never want to do this again?
You would be surprised at my answer, but there was a mental health PD that I couldn't stand. And this is when I had a huge light bulb moment go off for me, because I realized that the mental health professional talking to us as teachers at the time had no idea what it was like to be a teacher. They didn't have that teacher perspective. So it shut me right off. What about you?
Well, I was laughing too, because I was thinking restorative practices, but I had been trained so many times and I had gone to so many conferences and I've independently like read so many books on it. And then to sit there and the training wasn't very good. And I remember a colleague leaned over and was like, you could be teaching this better, you know? And then that just made me more frustrated in the moment. Like, yeah, like I got the rest of the day sitting here having to do this. So I think anytime you have a repeat of something over and over, kind of like the blood pathogens thing that you have to do every year, all of those sexual harassment topics are important, but like when you have to take the same course over and over, the same quizzes, it's just like, come on now. So all of those, I think, repeat ones I get kind of frustrated with.
Fair enough.
So this is probably maybe a good segue too. So we provide professional development. So Charlie, I know I saw a post the other day, a beautiful post from you on social media, was talking about, you know, your keynote sessions and you're starting to get those filled out for the following school year. So do you want to talk more about that?
Absolutely. And you and I do keynotes all the time. And the idea is this: when you're thinking about next year, we need to think about there's challenges in this system. And it's about getting the message of hope and that we can do this and having tools and strategies that are just so easy to use when they go back into the workplace. So that's what, and I love that you do that as well. So I do keynotes. It's called Thriving Under Pressure. Speak to, you know, staff. And I love that topic and they respond very well. But you've got to now tell everybody about what you're doing because your message is amazing. It truly is.
Yeah, I'm similar to you, Charlie, in the sense that, I mean, obviously we do the language behavior both. We do keynotes and that. We do workshops for that also, or breakout sessions. I love the breakout session I just did with the local BOCES, where I got to kind of dive in deeper and give some more scenarios. But then I also talk about leadership stuff too, or stress. I mean, good night. I know a lot of people are, you know, starting their school year. And so they're feeling really, really good about things because they got some rest. But, you know, the one that really took off as far as a keynote is enhancing your capacity with healthy habits. And I think, you know, as the start of the year, we do start off well with some of the habits and things that we do. But what I went into more about practical strategies, and then of course, goal setting too, where I like to go into some data and things to show, like, you know, the things that we put in place in our life are in the mind of, I want to get this done, but the things that we do are not practical and of course fall to the wayside. So Charlie and I want the best for everyone here in providing those different keynotes. So if you're looking for professional development in some way, of course, I threw up Charlie's website at thrivingeducator.org. Or you can head over to joshstanford.com. Those are our various websites. And of course, we have a lot of things there. We've got resources, blogs, we've got our podcasts, we've got our book. and then packages and things that we offer also.
Right. Yeah. Because we've got the workshops that we do, and we also do the cohorts. So that's
true.
The A-Team, yeah. Action Team cohort, lots going on.
Yeah. We'll talk more about the A-Team in just a little bit, because that's something that we've put together based on the book, The Language of Behavior, and then something that we are also doing with a school district right now as we speak. So if you're interested in learning more, tune in soon, because we'll be touching on that as far as what that looks like, that structure, and how it's going to affect your classroom and your campus. So Charlie, with that, do you have any closing notes for us before we wrap this episode up?
I do. We're talking about confrontation. Balance the challenge with support. So there's a challenge support ratio, and research on resilience shows that people, like when they thrive on that challenge part, that is overpowering. So pair it with the reassurance. That's what people really need. It helps that nervous system stay regulated and just open to what you have to say.
Wonderful. All right. I just want to remind everyone that we are here weekly, so make sure that you tune in. And then if you love the show, we would love for you to rate and review the podcast. And then if you are looking for a resource to help you with challenging behaviors or the structure that you have in your environment for students, make sure you're grabbing the book, The Language of Behavior. And with that, Charlie and I will see you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.